This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Landfill playing bangers today. High noon in the District of Columbia, and it's time to talk NFL with our guy, Mr. Pat Leonard, NFL columnist for the New York Daily News. Of course, talking ball with Pat Leonard. I got to start with some personal questions, Pat. Thank you for making time for us. I don't know if you saw Pat down at Radio Row.
I did.
But he has so many endorsements going now. He looked like a male model every day walking around the New Orleans Convention Center. Because he's got his own fashion endorsement. You have some like health and wellness stuff popping. What is going on, man? How are you?
Yeah, man. No, I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for the plug. Well, listen, you guys are the pros at this. You know, you were rocking Radio Row. Like, everybody's walking by saying hi to you.
They're saying hi to me.
But I'm there. You know, that's kind of my maiden voyage with my Talking Ball podcast. And frankly, JP, the only way I was able to get there, this isn't a plug. This is just the reality. It was because of those sponsors, you know, Boom Chaga, Mushroom Super Drink.
What is that?
Colorado for Men, my bookie. Boom Chaga it's like a supplement that you pour. It's a liquid. It comes in a packet and you pour it into your coffee or your tea or your water. And, you know, it reduces inflammation. It can lower cholesterol, has antioxidants. And yeah, I put it in my coffee every morning. I'm a crazy coffee drinker. So they have like mushroom coffees out there that some people swear by or like.
Yeah,
but this is cool because you can kind of control what you're putting it in.
Can you send us some? I'll try it. When I saw that it was mushroom,
Chaga is what it's called.
You don't trip,
boom,
right?
Chaga. Yeah, you can use my code too. I got a code. It's TalkingBall25. Everybody listening, you get a discount.
Is it a hallucinogenic?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not.
Well, JP, not interested in.
If it was, I figured I would be able to land Aaron Rodgers pretty quickly as a guest. You know?
That's the perfect segue, dude. Let's start there. What do you think happens? You think Rodgers is out of the league?
Ooh, no. No, I don't. I think the interesting part right now is what does he get versus what he wants? Like, you know, it seems like he's a way better fit for a team that would not be contending. Like, you know, the Raiders just need a quarterback on the field, or the Tennessee Titans as they're kind of rebuilding and gives them a shot in the arm, gets people in the stands. Rodgers obviously has a higher opinion of himself than I think the rest of the league does at the moment. But I think out west is probably where he's looking. It's just a question of where it's going to be a fit, right? You know, like you look at the LA Rams, if Matthew Stafford gets traded, then I personally would circle the Rams as the place for Rodgers. But listen, that makes sense for Rodgers. That would be great for him. Does that make sense for the Rams? Right? Like that's the question you have to ask yourself there. How much better do they get? I think they become a worse team immediately if they trade Stafford and then end up signing or trading for an Aaron Rodgers. This is a guy who likes to run the offense the way he does and kind of make all the checks and own it. But that's McVay's offense, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's where ideally he would like to be, but I'm not quite sure that it makes sense for all parties involved.
So Aaron wants to be in L.A. It's not that L.A. wants Aaron.
I don't, you know, there's that revolving door of what happens with Stafford that dictates that. I think I can't tell you LA does not want him. I think that, as far as I know, the Rams understand that keeping and getting something done with Stafford is that that's their best path to being a good or better team next season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you guys know as well as I do, it's hard to do, but like the best teams are able to kind of cut bait right before it becomes obvious to everybody else it's time, not after, right? You don't want to pay Matthew Stafford $50 million a year as the Rams, and then suddenly he goes into a steep decline immediately. And now you have these young players like Jared Verse on defense that you've added, and you've started to kind of turn over the roster with Puka Nacua, but now you're like saddled for another 2 years, let's say, by an albatross veteran quarterback contract. So that's a decision they have to make. I mean, I interviewed I had Adam Schefter on the podcast last week, asked him that directly. He had the same read on, you know, Matthew Stafford, essentially, he and the Rams trying to get something done now. That's the priority. But B-Mitch, I think if the Rams, if Stafford ends up getting traded, they first would, I think, want a young quarterback in the building to develop. But also, listen, they were a good Jalen Carter pass rush away from potentially beating the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
In the playoffs. So like, it's not like they're a team that's in full rebuild mode anymore. Is Rodgers the guy then?
I would question that.
Does Sean want to deal with his BS?
I know. Listen, if I were running the Rams, I think my choice would be to go elsewhere. But, you know, when you talk about, okay, who would be your quarterback next season if it wasn't Stafford so that you could compete? I don't know. Would it be Kirk Cousins after he gets released by the Falcons? I mean, you guys, you know, in that market, talk about not needing a quarterback. Holy cow. I mean, what a luxury.
It's a different world down here, dude. It hasn't been like this in a long time.
It is a different world. And, you know, that becomes that's a tough question for the Rams. It really is. Tough question.
Well, this is inside information from my wife listening to Stafford's wife's podcast. I don't think they want to leave LA. We're talking with our friend Pat Leonard here on the Rood guest hotline. Rood is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can follow Pat at P Leonard NYDN. Read all his work at the New York Daily News. Check out the Talking Ball podcast. Let's go to the Giants then, because I know the Giants have been, I think, the most connected team with these Stafford rumors, whether they're real or just rumors.
You don't want to leave LA and go there.
Dude, if you're Daboll and Shane, who held on to their jobs by a fingernail, they got to do something to win now, right?
Yeah. I mean, the quote going around right now, guys, is Joe Shane swearing, you know, I'm not going to throw any Hail Marys to save my job this year. But let's be honest. First of all,
that's the only way you're going to save it.
Yeah, right, exactly. You kind of have to. Also, what people don't recognize, because it wasn't a quarterback, the trade for Brian Burns last year was a Hail Mary. Like, they gave up a second-round pick that they could have used on Kamari Lassiter, a rookie corner who starred for the Texans opposite Derek Stingley. And they also paid Burns an above-market contract that neared $30 million a year. That was like a, wow, we really need to upgrade our front, our pass rush. You know, this might be go for broke time. If we don't succeed this year, it might be curtains. So they overspent there for a guy. Like, they've already done it. So the idea that they wouldn't do it again, especially when they literally have no quarterback on the roster other than Tommy DeVito, I think Stafford is definitely on the table. I mentioned Cousins earlier. You know, guys, it's funny. Like, if you were the Giants, okay, you have the number 3 overall pick. There's Shedeur Sanders. There's Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, hypothetically, even you are drafting one of those guys. How are you making sure you're winning games in weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of this season to save your job, to show ownership progress? Even with that rookie in the building feeling, oh, we got a guy we can develop, it just doesn't add up to me to help them be a competitive team out of the gate in a division that, because of Jaden now, because the Eagles, Super Bowl champions, like, it's as difficult as ever. So I think they have to go a veteran route, even if they draft a QB. And I think Stafford is the most attractive name out there right now.
I will take Stafford before I take Kirk. And then again, Kirk may not want to deal with that again because what happened to him just a while ago.
Stafford also looked good last year. Yeah. Stafford is still performing at a high level. Do you really think the Giants will take Shador or Cam Ward? Giants are a third, right?
You know, the word is, yeah, they're third. Titans are one, Browns are two. The word is that Shane loves Shador, that the Giants love Shador. They have a high opinion of Cam Ward's talents, too. I do think the Titans, I don't know, they've thrown up a lot of signs that they want to trade back from one. We'll see if they actually do. They also need a quarterback. The Browns need a quarterback at two. JP, to answer your question, if job preservation was not an issue, which of course it is in the NFL, especially for the Giants, if it wasn't an issue, I think the best path for them is to take the best player there, and it's probably an Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Or, honestly, I would rather it be an offensive lineman if I were the Giants, but you know, if it's Travis Hunter, whatever, I think you just need talent. They don't have a lot of talent on their team. I think the cheap veteran plus the number three pick being a stud position player plus maybe a second or third round quarterback who you can get in and develop is the right team building way to go. Now,
right.
Let's see if they actually do that.
Does Joe Shane want to deal with Deion?
Well, B-Mitch, I'm glad you said that because let's be honest. The second, if the Giants drafted Shedeur Sanders, with Brian Daboll potentially not even lasting six games this fall, depending on how it goes, Deion Sanders immediately becomes a candidate to be the Giants' next head coach.
Wow.
Now, you know, would they hire him? Would he actually leave Colorado? He threw up a lot of flares this offseason to kind of test the market. I'm not saying the Giants would do it. I'm just saying he's already said on the record that if he left for the NFL, it would be to coach his son. You know, Daboll is dead man walking right now as far as the coaching carousel goes. I think you make a great point. If Deion's not the coach, listen, he's very outspoken. He's fun to listen to, right? He knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But are you, you know, if he's Colorado's head coach out there, let's say Shador doesn't start week one and Deion starts talking out in Colorado about my son's not starting, what's going on? Or it's week six and he throws two interceptions and the coach says something publicly about we got to start turning the ball over. Just becomes like a slippery slope there.
It does.
All right. Now, I'm going to make sure I got you quoted correctly because that's a tweet waiting to happen, Pat. If the Giants end up drafting Shador Sanders, then eventually Deion Sanders becomes a major contender to coach
make
the
Make sure
Giants.
You get this right, JP. I don't want you messing up.
I'm asking him.
I would say, here's what I would say.
Okay.
I would say if Daboll doesn't last, let's start here.
We don't have to tweet it, dude. It gets complicated.
You can tweet it. No, right. I've written it. No, for sure. Joe Shane and Daboll are both under pressure going into this season. But when I listened to John Mara standing there right in front of him on breakup day, even though he was saying none of it was good enough, it sounded to me like he had lost patience more so with the coach than the general manager. I could be wrong about that. I do feel, though, that Shane has some stronger kind of tethers and tentacles in there. Mara is very enamored with how he runs the draft and runs the personnel process.
Helps that draft last year was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. So that being the case, you know, he's also asked Daboll to give up play calling, do all those kind of things. I think that Daboll is on a hotter seat. And if Daboll gets fired and Shane is still here, I believe Deion Sanders would become a candidate to be the next head coach, assuming they draft Shador. So the dots connected are you draft Shador as your new franchise QB and Daboll gets fired and maybe Shane still has some more rope. I believe, yes, in that scenario, Deion would become a candidate.
Gotcha. That's good context there. And it's also a perfect example. B and I talk about all the time that the NFL is a self-preservation league.
Hell yeah.
So many executives and coaches are just focused on keeping their job because it's one of the coolest things to do in the world. And this is an exact example of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you had somebody that was solely focused on the best future for the New York Giants, you draft Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter there. And I don't think there's really much discussion about it. I think the quarterbacks in this draft, they might end up being good players, but if you're just ranking top talent, they don't crack the top 20 in this draft.
Right. No, and you know what, JP, not that I would pass on a Travis Hunter because he's a Heisman winner, he's amazing, he could play two ways. But for the Giants, it really also comes down to the lines. Like, if there was an offensive lineman, they had Judge at number three there, I would say Carter or insert offensive lineman there.
Well, the flip side of that is, but if you're Shane and Dable and you draft a rookie quarterback and then you don't play him for six games because he's not ready, we got to go with our bridge guy. Then you play him five games and it's rough. But then that last four-game stretch, he shows real promise. Voila, we're back for next year because we got to be here to see things go through with this quarterback.
There you go.
Like, that's how this stuff works.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. And, you know, that you would just have to have the beginning of the season go well enough or tread water well enough that you could get to that point as the regime. Although, like we just saw last year, I mean, it couldn't be any worse here and the guys still have the job. So nobody really knows what kind of the Giants standard is anymore. Let me ask you a question. Is Myles Garrett, you guys going to get Myles Garrett down in Washington?
We want him.
I don't know that he gets out of Cleveland, man. And I think this is more than him just wanting a new contract. But I do think Cleveland throws some guaranteed money on the books for this year, says, listen, we're going to go get Kirk. We're going to go get somebody to compete this year and, you know, give us a year, give us a chance. Because I think there's a real relationship there. I think the contract structure makes it really hard for Garrett to get dealt. I think if a trade becomes realistic, I think Washington's in play. But keep in mind, like, everybody's kind of moved past it because it happened at the end of the trade deadline last year. They did give some stuff up to get Lattimore, and I think inside that building they think they already added a stud defensive player and will get him for two more years. That said, Lattimore ain't Garrett, and you put Garrett on this team, all of a sudden, do they beat Philly in the NFC title game? I don't know. It gets a lot more interesting.
Did you get a chance to see how Mara felt with Saquon and him going to the Super Bowl, and he had an unbelievable year?
Yeah, did Mara talk?
He has not talked to us since the Super Bowl, no.
He couldn't be feeling good, man.
I mean, I'll tell you this. The closest thing I have had to, you know, knowing what Mara is feeling right now is I had Amani Toomer, the Giants legend, on my podcast last week. And he just kind of, as he was talking about everything that's going wrong with the franchise, he said, I know the owner's not happy. And, you know, and it's like, you know, clearly a very recent kind of connection there to how John Mara is feeling. But obviously, guys, the disconnect is there because John can say, I'm not happy. But if you're running it back and everything stays the same, then everyone kind of throws up their hands and says, what's going on? And where it stands in Giants land is prior to the Super Bowl, Michael Strahan did a segment where he interviewed Saquon Barkley for Fox. And at the end of it, he grabbed an Eagles flag and waved it in the air during the segment and said that he would do this on Barkley's behalf because he has so much respect for him. And I talked in depth to Amani about what that meant. A lot of these Giants legends are fed up. Like they met at
Strahan.
So Strahan did this segment on Fox, like during a pregame segment where he waved an Eagles flag, fly Eagles fly.
Oh. And
so the Giants, so Amani Toomer went on a radio show on ESPN New York here and said that was a warning shot at the organization. And as I interviewed Amani and asked him what exactly this is about, he said a lot of former Giants feel the way that Strahan kind of articulated there, which is they're very disappointed. They don't have a real answer to what the direction of the franchise is.
Okay, I got you.
And they want to see the Giants turn this around, but they don't know where it starts and ends. And that's kind of where the whole Giants landscape is. Everybody wants answers, and they're not the former players, the legends, are not hearing what they want to hear from the leadership all the way up to ownership.
That's interesting. And if I had to guess, and I don't know, but like if you're Shane and Dable, you're probably not that kind to former players coming around as you guys suck and nobody can figure it out. When you start to get that divide, we kind of saw that, as the Ron thing started falling apart. That gets difficult. Shout out to our guy Ryan. He just tweeted me, Pat. He said, what a great interview. So I told him to follow our guy Pat Leonard. P. Leonard, NYDN, read his work in the Daily News. Check out the Talking Ball podcast. Real quick on this. Does Darius Slayton get out of New York? That's an interesting name to me.
That is an interesting one. That's a good question, JP, because he's kind of, this is like the story of his career. He's kind of in that sweet spot. Like, he's not, you know, a top five, let's say,
right,
potentially available free agent receiver. So he's not immediately pricing himself out of the building, right? But he's also, he's valuable as like a consistent, you know, number three, ideally, on a good offense and team. And the Giants have, one of their major problems in recent years has been not only like letting go of good players, they've also let go, because they've misjudged, like, kind of the character guys from their locker room. Like, you guys just saw kind of the rebuild of a culture and the character of a locker room down there pretty quickly. The Giants have kind of gone the other way. And Slayton, very involved in the community, won the NFLPA award.
Yeah, I saw, I talked to him in New Orleans on the red carpet.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Flex. And they were, you know, he's very respected in the locker room. He spoke for the team very well at the end of the season when things were going haywire. So, listen, you're still paying people for production, obviously.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can't be in the business, because they already are, of letting Julian Love, Xavier McKinney, Leonard Williams, Saquon Barkley, like all of these guys who, okay, they're good players, but these are guys that players on offense and defense were looking to for leadership that the organization adjudged were not worth whatever they were looking for. So does Slayton get out of the building? I think if he commands a significant contract, yes. But if he ends up in that middle ground of free agency, then I think the Giants have to go to whatever that number is conceivably, because they can't ignore that element. But I, my short answer, JP, would be he gets out. I think, you know, he's not a player who's going to dictate terms necessarily.
Right, right, right,
I think he wants to go somewhere where he can win and someone's going to notice his play.
Come on down the road, bro.
Yo, Pat, thank you, dude. We kept
Appreciate you, Pat.
Appreciate you, brother.
No, you guys are awesome. Take care.
All right, man.
That's our boy, Pat Leonard, New York Daily News. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock.